जय राधम
The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text Number 18, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 5th July of 1982 in Mumbai, India.
Gopi jana bala bhala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Nyachat vishyabhyo kvashan manasa buddhi sarathi manakamabir akshiptam sabharate dhayadhiya. Translation. Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized, withdraw it from sense activities, and by intelligence the senses will be controlled. The mind, too absorbed in material activities, can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The first process of spiritualizing the mind by mechanical chanting of the pranava and by controlling of the breathing process is technically called the mystical yogic process of pranayama, or fully controlling the breathing air. The ultimate state of this pranamaya system is to be fixed in trance, technically called samadhi. But experience has proven that even the samadhi state also fails to control the materially absorbed mind. For example, the great mystic Vishwamitra Muni, even in the stage of samadhi, became a victim of the senses and cohabited with Menaka. History has already recorded this. The mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities, at present remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status and thus disturbs one from sent person engagement and self-realization. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami recommends the next step of assured policy, namely, to fix one's mind in the service of the personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also recommends this direct process in the Bhagavad Gita. Thus the mind being spiritually cleansed, one should at once engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord by the different devotional activities of hearing, chanting, etc. If performed under proper guidance, that is the surest path of progress, even for the disturbed mind. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakya Chakshurmanitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Thapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jai Dvaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gopakurva Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Niyachat Vishya Vyokvashan Manasa Buddhi Sarathi Manakamabir Akshiptam Sabharate Dhayadhiya. So, the different steps that are necessary for succeeding on the spiritual path or in becoming God realized are being described in this chapter. Over here specifically, Shukadeva Goswami is emphasizing the control of the mind. In this verse, these three words are very significant. Akshan manasa buddhi. Akshan is translated to be the senses. Manasa is translated to be the by dint of the mind. And buddhi is translated to be the intelligence. So, the working senses or the akshan, they are described in the Bhagavad Gita to be higher than dull matter. And the mind is considered to be higher than the working senses. And the buddhi or the intelligence is considered to be higher than the mind. And the soul is considered to be higher than the intelligence. So just like matter is activated by the living entity because the senses are higher than matter, similarly the intelligence is higher than the mind. And hence, the mind has to be controlled by the intelligence. This is what is being stated in this verse, that the mind has to be controlled by the intelligence. And by intelligence, the senses will be controlled. So the point is that the senses have to be controlled for one who is desirous of success on the spiritual path. And the senses can be controlled if the intelligence is fixed in service to the personality of Godhead, then the mind will be controlled in the right direction. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that this mind can be the best of friends and it can be the greatest of enemies of the living entity. Mana eva manushanam karna bandhaya mokshayo. That is, mind that is controlled is the best of friends, and mind that is uncontrolled or mind that is engaged in vishaya, sense gratification, is the cause of bandha or bondage. So we see that for the spiritualist, very great emphasis is placed upon controlling the mind by engaging it positively in devotional service to the Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is stated, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya Shavanadi Sudha Chitikara Yudaya. That is, the loving propensity is there within every living entity. But this loving propensity has been transformed into lust because of coming in contact with the material modes of passion. Just like milk, when it is touched by tamarind, it gets transformed into yogurt. So similarly, this loving propensity for Krishna is transformed into lust because of our having coming into contact with the material mode of passion. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the enemy of the living entity, the enemy of one who wants to succeed in spiritual path is described. It is explained that the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. Just like the fire is covered by smoke, or as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb. So similarly, the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. And the Lord goes on to explain that thus a man's pure consciousness, because pure consciousness refers to love, thus a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satiated and which is always burning like fire. So the nature of this enemy, lust, is that it is never satisfied. This is very nicely illustrated in the Bhagavatam, in the story of Maharaj Yayati. Maharaj Yayati and his wife engaged in unlimited sense gratification. Maharaj Yayati once had an affair with one of the maidservants of his wife. He was cursed to take on the body of an old man. But he was, however, given the benediction that if anyone agreed to switch his youth with his old age, he could again become a youthful man. And Maharaj Yayati's three sons refused, but the youngest son agreed. And Maharaj Yayati again obtained the form of a young man and resumed sense gratification. But in the end, he and his wife concluded that they were just like lusty goats. Just like lusty goat is never satisfied. He and his wife were never satisfied. And then they both withdrew to the mountain. So Lord Krishna is stating the same point, that this lust is never satisfied and it is always burning like fire. One can never hope to satisfy lust. Properly to compare this to the itching sensation. One feels like itching, one scratches, but it never stops. One just feels like scratching more and more and more. So, the next question is, now that we've established which is the greatest enemy of the living entity, namely lust, where is this enemy situated? That is the next question by Kuntanath. So, that is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. The senses, the mind and the intelligence are the sitting places of this enemy known as lust, which wields the real knowledge of the living entity. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, not only has the Lord established who the enemy is, but also the location of the enemy is described. Just like when one is engaged in a battle, one wants to know where is the enemy located. These days, of course, they have these sophisticated cameras which can detect the strategic locations of the enemy. So similarly, the Lord has already done the research for us and He has identified where is this enemy located. The senses, the mind and the intelligence is the area where this enemy is located. Therefore we see over here that the emphasis is that the senses be controlled by the mind be controlled by the intelligence. So the enemy known as lust is manifesting its desires through the different senses, the different openings in the body. But one who wants to see it in the spiritual path must cover all the 9 gates or all the 9 openings with this transcendental knowledge. If the senses are uncontrolled, then these senses act like serpents. Just like a serpent, where as long as it has its poisonous teeth, it is very dangerous. But the moment the poisonous teeth are taken out, then the snake loses its dangerous position. Similarly, if the senses are uncontrolled, they're compared to an unbridled horse, or senses or a snake with these teeth. And if the senses are controlled, then these same senses, which at one time were the cause of bondage, become the cause of liberation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very beautiful verse by Narada Muni. He says, Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena savrata tat eva hi amayam dravyam na punati chikitsitam. The translation is it not a fact that the same activity which is the cause of the disease, if it is applied in a therapeutic manner, becomes the cure of disease. So the uncontrolled senses are the cause of our material bondage. The uncontrolled senses are the cause of the living entity being transmigrated from one body to another body. And these same senses, which are the cause of our bondage, if they are utilized in a purified manner, purified manner here refers to the process of devotional service. So the same senses, if they are utilized in the process of devotional service, become the cure of the disease. So the disease is to try and enjoy material existence. And Maharaj Rishabhdev in the Bhagavatam declares that a person who hopes to enjoy sense enjoyment is simply a madman. Nunam pramatāku te vikarmaya dindiya priyataya apranoti. Such a person is declared to be mad because, it is explained, that this individual does not realize that the present body which he has is already giving him trouble. And this is giving him trouble because he engaged in sense enjoyment. And by engaging in vikarmic activities again, he will realize a body which will again give him trouble. So, engaging in sense gratification is not the desired activity of the intelligent entity. The desired activity of the intelligent entity is to control these senses by engaging them in the process of devotional service. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatpad paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikena sevana bhaktir uchate. Now the Pancharatna says, this verse is also repeated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to emphasize how important it is. It is stated that one can be free from all these different designations if these senses are employed in the service of Rishikesha, who is the proprietor of the senses. So the point is that the same senses which are the cause of so much trouble can become the cause of liberation if they are engaged in the process of devotional service. The enemy known as lust is manifesting his desires to the intelligence, the mind and the senses. Therefore, Lord Krishna goes on to say, curb this great enemy, symbol of sin. So lust has been further described to be the symbol of sin. So the Lord says, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating these senses. So this great enemy or the symbol of sinful life, lust, can be controlled by regulating these senses. If these senses are regulated, if these senses are employed in the service of the Lord, then this great enemy or the symbol of sinful life, lust, can be controlled. But if these senses are not brought under control, then one's spiritual progress is impossible. And in the purport, Prabhupada has given this example of Vishwamitra Muni to point out that just samadhi is not the real solution, but rather the real solution is to positively engage the mind and the senses in service to the Lord. The example of Vishwamitra Muni is cited to point out how, when he was agitated by Menaka, he withdrew from his trance. And in comparison to this, we have the situation of Haridas Thakur, who was being tempted by this most beautiful prostitute. But this most beautiful prostitute was unsuccessful. And there's also the example when the incarnation of sinful life, the Maya Devi, took the form of a most beautiful woman who had amongst her victims even Brahma and the other demigods. When she came to tempt Haridas Thakur, she was totally unsuccessful. Therefore, it is stated that Shukadev Goswami is recommending that one should fix one's mind in the service to the personality of Godhead. And if the mind and the senses are fixed in the service, in devotional service to the personality of Godhead, then the Lord always comes to the rescue of his devotee. We have this example of Durvasa Muni and Amrish Maharaj. How Amrish Maharaj was being threatened by Durvasa Muni, but Amrish Maharaj never withdrew his mind from the lotus feet of the Lord, Sarve Mana Krishna Padaravinda. And because Amrish Maharaj's mind was fixed in the lotus feet of the Lord came to his rescue, and eventually Durvasa Muni had to apologize to Amrish Maharaj. There's also the story in the fifth canto of this great sage Jadabharata, how the dacoits had kidnapped Jadabharata and they were getting ready to offer him in a sacrifice, and the goddess Durga came out of the deity and she tore the dacoits apart because the dacoits wanted to offer this great devotee Jadabharat as a sacrifice. While the dacoits were preparing to offer Jadabharat in sacrifice, Jadabharata had his mind fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, and therefore Krishna protected his devotee. Kaunteya pratijani na me bhakta pranashati. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, we see that there is very great emphasis upon controlling the mind. Arjuna, as we know, did not want to engage in this battle, but Lord Krishna induced him to engage in the battle, and further said, Tasma sarveshu kaleshu mam manasma yudhyacha, that you should engage in this battle, but with your mind fixed on me. So, it is not that the living entity doesn't have to engage in any activities. Rather, one should engage in activities for the service of the Lord, but at the same time, offer the mind completely to Krishna. Manasa deha gaya o kishor mora, arpilam tuya pade nanda kishora. Thakur Bhakti Vinod has also prayed that, my dear Lord, I'm offering everything that I have, my mind, my body, my senses, my family, my property, everything, at your lotus feet. So, in order to succeed on this spiritual path, it is being emphasized in this verse by Shukadeva Goswami, the mind and the senses must be controlled. The mind is higher than the senses are higher than the dull matter, and the intelligence is higher than the mind, and the soul is higher than the intelligence. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kham mana buddhi evacha. Krishna declares that there are the five material ingredients, earth, water, fire, air, ether, then the mind, then the intelligence. So, with spiritual intelligence, the mind has to be controlled. With spiritual intelligence, if the mind wants to run in a direction that is not conducive for spiritual path, one should reject it. Just like Rupa Goswami has given us the characteristics by which one can succeed in devotional service, he says one should accept everything favorable for executing Krishna consciousness and reject everything unfavorable for executing Krishna consciousness. So, if the mind wants to engage in something that is unfavorable, Garuda, if the mind wants to engage in something that is unfavorable for advancement in spiritual life, then one should abstain from such activity. But if the mind wants to engage in an activity that is favorable for advancement in spiritual life, then one may engage in it. So, the point is, the intelligence must be able to discriminate. The intelligence must be able to discriminate what is right and what is wrong. The contaminated mind cannot on its own determine what is right and what's wrong. Therefore, the scriptures recommend that the contaminated mind should take shelter of the purified mind. If the contaminated mind takes shelter of the purified mind, namely the spiritual master or the spiritual authority, then the contaminated mind, through the intelligence, will understand what is right and what is wrong. But if one wants to just listen to the contaminated mind, then again spiritual progress will become impossible. So we must recognize the greatest enemy mind, Garuda. So we must recognize the greatest enemy mind. And this mind, if it is uncontrolled, becomes the greatest obstacle to spiritual success. And if this mind, if it is controlled, becomes the greatest friend on the path of spiritual progress. Prabhupada in a lecture once said, one may conquer over the whole world. One may conquer over all the empires, but if one has not conquered over his mind, then he has been a total failure. So the real success is measured not in terms of the empires one has conquered, but in terms of the extent to which one has conquered his mind. And it is not difficult to conquer the mind. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Chanchalai Mana Krishna, this mind is very difficult to conquer. But the Lord Krishna describes, by constant practice and detachment, it is possible to control the mind. It is not an impossible thing. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, those who worship me with devotion, I preserve what they have and I make up what they lack. So it may be difficult to control the mind, but if we worship the Lord with devotion and sincerity, then the Lord will make up the deficiency and give us the assistance by which it will be possible to control the mind. So the mind should be constantly absorbed in thinking about Krishna, thinking about his instructions, thinking about his pastimes, and as Prahlad Maharaj engages mind in thinking about the conditioned souls who are forgetting Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj, Hanuman, Prahlad Maharaj was always engaging his mind in thinking about Krishna's instructions. Prahlad Maharaj was very concerned at looking at the plight of the materialists who are trying to squeeze happiness out of a situation where there is no happiness. The position of the materialist is exactly like that of a man in the desert who thinks that he can find water, Jairaj. If the man in the desert is hoping that he'll be able to find some water, but actually in the desert there is no water. Prabhupada used to give the example of the dog in the desert that is thinking there is a mirage a little ahead. He just goes on running, 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 till eventually the dog gets completely exhausted and dies. So that is the position of materialistic life. One is always hoping that there is happiness. He runs after it, he runs after it, he runs after it. But in the end he discovers that there is no happiness at all. But unfortunately when he discovers it, it's too late. So the point is that the transcendentalist realizes that there is absolutely no possibility of any such thing as happiness in the material world. The claims of happiness in the material world is just an hallucination. Just like if someone told us he found a big well of water in the desert, any sane man would say this is just a joke. Because in the desert, it is impossible to find water. So similarly, there's absolutely no such thing as happiness by materialistic activities. The only happiness possible is happiness that can be derived by devotional service to the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord is described to be pavitram, sushukam and abhyaya. It is happily performed. It is the purest and it is inexhaustible. So one renders devotional service to the Lord happily. Brahma bhuta prasanatmana sochatina kanchati. One is absorbed in serving the Lord blissfully. He doesn't lament or hanker. The disease of the material world is that one is hankering and lamenting. But one who is transcendentally situated, he doesn't hanker or he doesn't lament. So Prahlad Maharaj, he had no material hankering, he had no material lamentation. Prahlad Maharaj's only lamentation was looking at the condition of the materialist who were trying to neglect the real purpose of human life. So Prahlad Maharaj was very concerned about the position of the materialist. That is also the position of the devotees. The devotees are very concerned when they see that a living entity is trying to forget the real business of human life and engage in sense gratification. Therefore, they absorb themselves in the activities that are most pleasurable, that is most pleasurable to the Lord. That is the activity of preaching. That is the activity of propagating the message of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj used to say that, my dear Lord, for myself, I have no reason of concern. I have understood the real purpose of human life, nor do I want to be like those transcendentalists who withdraw to the mountains or who go to a place of seclusion. Rather, I want to be in the place where the people are. So so that I can give them your message. So that is the mood of the Vaishnava devotee, to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is considered to be one of the 12 Mahajans or spiritual authorities. So the devotee follows in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj by being in the mood of giving Krishna consciousness to everyone, by being in the mood of making the unhappy person happy, by making the person who's like a crow into a swan. The crow is attracted to dirty objects, to dirt, filth, but the swan is attracted to a clean environment. So the business of the devotee is to convert the crows into swans, and that is only possible if they absorb themselves in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj and distribute Krishna consciousness. Jare dako tahi kaho Krishna upadesh. Whoever you see, give him knowledge about Krishna. This should be our goal. This should be our absorption. The mind should be absorbed exactly like Prahlad Maharaj in thinking of techniques. How this Krishna consciousness can be distributed? Prahlad Maharaj has said that, my dear Lord, I'm always meditating how the conditioned souls can be employed in devotional service. So the devotees of the Lord, they're always thinking of techniques how the conditioned soul can be engaged in the process of devotional service. That should be their absorption. And if that is their absorption, then Krishna, who's situated within the heart, will definitely give the necessary intelligence. Krishna Das Kaviraj has gone on to say that, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the blind can be made to see. So by the mercy of the Lord, the inconceivable can become conceivable. And the mercy of the Lord is realized in proportion to a degree of surrender. So to summarize, the Shukadeva Goswami is emphasizing that the intelligence must control the mind must control the senses, and in the Bhagavad Gita it is described that the senses are higher than the dull matter. So one who is serious about succeeding on the spiritual path, he must learn the technique of employing the material sense, of employing the senses and the mind in devotional service to the Lord. The loving propensity for the Lord has been transformed into lust because of coming in contact with the material modes of passion. Hare Krishna.